The dawn is breaking, a light shining through.
Back here on Downtown, it is 4:31. Here on a Wednesday afternoon, it's time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt here with us. And let's see, we were having some audio difficulties there. We've got Matt Baxter and Ron Mann, authors of Running Up the Mountain. Let's see if...
Can you hear me?
There we go. There's Ron.
There we go.
Beautiful.
Can you hear me?
We can now hear you both. Yes, great.
Perfect. There we go.
Perfect.
Well, we're really excited to have you guys here. We've talked to the authors of every book that Miles and Julie have done out there at Solstice. And Maine, you know, as a running community, is a distance-focused community. We like to say that's because it's never warm enough to sprint here. But I know that won't settle with you guys. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to start with Ron. And we've talked about the book on air, so people know something about Northern Arizona. You went there first as a runner, and then became the coach, and then became the coach of both men's and women's. What first brought you to NAU, and how did you end up being so bonded to Flagstaff?
Well, I was first brought to Northern Arizona University by Dr. Leo Haberlack. Leo Haberlack, Red Haberlack at the time, who started the program in 1964 when it became Northern Arizona University from Arizona State Teachers College. And he recruited me as an 800-meter runner. And from that point, I fell in love with the mountain. And early on, I got a great introduction to running in Flagstaff when George Young, Jim Ryan, Billy Mills, and Conrad Nightingale came to Flagstaff in the fall of 1968 before I even started school. So I got introduced by immersion.
Now, in 1968, when the Olympics were in Mexico City, we really started to talk in track and field about altitude training. I mean, people were worried that it would be, you know, that people would blow up if they trained too hard at altitude. But somehow the word got around that training in Tahoe or Flagstaff was a really good idea. How did that end up affecting what happens later on at NAU?
Well, what transpired there was, you know, Jack Daniels came to town and did some testing on Jim Ryan and many other Germans who were very scientifically oriented at that point in time. They came to Flagstaff. Twofold. One was to get into the correct time zone in that we were directly north of Mexico City, so they were in the same time zone. And then secondly, find a altitude that was similar. And the Germans did a lot of testing, you know, physiological testing, probably more advanced in the 1960s than the United States was.
Matt, you've been an NCAA cross-country champion. I understand you won a 10-miler in Pittsburgh the other day. Is that true?
That is true.
Yeah. Miles said you were you're a professional runner now. What got you to Northern Arizona? What made you want to be part of that?
Yeah, my journey was definitely interesting because typically when you have high school, because I'm from New Zealand originally, and so when you have high schoolers looking at coming to the US, typically you want to come straight out of high school. That's when you have the best offers and that's when you're most wanted. And so I actually waited until I was 21, and because I waited so long, it meant I had very few offers available to me. And so realistically, NAU was basically just one of the very few opportunities I had. And thankfully, I hit it off with Eric Hines, and I ended up coming out here in the spring of 2016. But to be honest, I didn't know what I was walking into. I'd never been to Flagstaff, never even been to the US before. I was honestly just hoping and wishing it was all going to work out and it was going to be a good place, and thankfully it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's a certain amount of courage involved in saying I've never seen Flagstaff, especially when most people's impression of Arizona would be something more along the lines of Phoenix or Tempe or Tucson, right? I think of it as being the desert and saguaro cactus and all that. Yet you're up in the mountains, you get 100 inches of snow in a year. How different from New Zealand, which I think of as being a slightly damper climate, was it to be in Flagstaff?
It was drastically different. I didn't even really completely understand the climate I was walking into, where I was coming from summer in January in New Zealand, and I flew into Phoenix, not too bad. But when we were coming up the mountain, we were the last shuttle up before they closed all the roads because of snow. And when we got dropped off at the Sky Dome, and I couldn't even see. The Sky Dome is massive, and I couldn't even see it because the snow was coming down so hard and it's pitch black. And I probably didn't touch one of the decent trails in Flagstaff for maybe 2 or 3 months when I first got here. So I couldn't really appreciate Flagstaff until the snow had melted. And so Flagstaff, if anything, was worse than I thought, because all I knew was the snow and the cold for the first few months. And then once it cleared, oh my gosh, it was amazing here. And that was when I really started to realize how fortunate of a place I had come to.
Now, one of the things people think about is, well, just you're at altitude. They've always been good coaching at NAU. It's a, you know, a program driven by its success. But somewhere along the line, as a community, the decision to have lots of trails, to have lots of running groups, to be a running community. When Miles Schrag first told me about that in France a couple of years ago at a conference, I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, there are thousands of runners. They run up the mountains. You don't understand how different it is." Ron, you've been there. You've been other places. How did that evolve?
Well, what transpired at the same time that the university was the urban trail and the naturalists, if you want to call it that, around the community who loved hiking and biking and all of those kinds of things, developed this urban trail that went throughout the city, and then they connected into the Forest Service roads, and it became a great network of running trails. All over, there's probably 250, 300 miles of running trails that are just naturally formed there in and around Flagstaff, much of which were Forest Service roads to start with, but then they were connected by the urban trail through the downtown community. And that was done through an initiative by some individuals in the town that had enough foresight to realize that this is going to be a running community.
And as a running community, as a runner, Matt, I mean, there's a tendency to think of people as their 400-meter person, they're an 800-meter person. There seems to be, at Northern Arizona, a sense that I'm a runner. And really, if you're a 3,200-meter or you're a 1,600-meter person or a 10K person, you're a runner. I don't find that everywhere. You know, I mean, I coached track for a long time, and people love to say, I'm a distance guy, I'm a hurdler, I'm a this, I'm a that. There seems to be a camaraderie at that university year after year after year between the track and field and the cross country people. You don't see just any place. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, I would say that's actually one of the really special things about the program, is that you don't feel like you have just within the middle distance to distance group. You don't feel like people are being pigeonholed to any particular event. And I would actually use a guy, Tyler Day, as an example. Me and him were on the team at the same time, and he had told me about Mike Smith, who's coach at NAU still now. He had sat down with Tyler and told him, I don't want you to think of yourself as a distance guy or a 5K guy or anything. You can do well at every single event. And so when you go out there and when you race, you need to know that you can go out there and perform really well. And so I think that was what kind of carried through the program, that if you have a guy who's an 800 guy, hey, when cross country comes around, you're a distance guy now. And if you're someone who does well at 5K, 10K, but you're lining up on the track for a 1500, you're a 1500 guy in that day. And so I think it was that overlap and making a little bit of a murkiness for all the distances and what you are a specialist at. I think that's what we were really benefited.
A number of years ago, I was at a college track meet, and I had a chance to talk to Patty Ross Tran from Middlebury College, who was an Olympic cross-country skier. And she always said that she thought it was great if kids could cross country ski in the winter and maybe not do indoor and not do it. But it seems like you guys figured out a way to train year round without burning people out in certain kinds of ways. Now, Ron, if I remember correctly in the book, you seem to be one of the architects of that, of having guys train in different ways.
Well, I think that, you know, I think one of the main things is people ask me what events I coach, and I always tell them I don't coach events, I coach people. And as you look at the person and determine who they are, take the very first female national champion that we had, Angela Chalmers, won the national championship in cross country, and she came to us as an 800 meter runner, and she never thought she would move up to those events. And I think what the coaching staff and the community has done is they've not pigeonholed somebody into a position, but they have tried to develop them into who they truly are destined to be. And I think we've seen that all the way through. And many of the runners, you know, let's take Matt Baxter, for example, you know, he's a marathoner now. And who would have thought that when he started out at, you know, at NAU back in 2016? Matt, did you think you were going to be a marathoner when you started?
I hoped not.
I'm with you on that. And so that also leads to this question about recruiting. You're not just looking at times and distances and the like when you're recruiting. You're looking beyond that. What are you most looking for, Ron? Whether you were there, Louisville, wherever you are, what are you most looking for?
I think at Northern Arizona, there's the culture, and too many times they try and recruit the athlete rather than recruiting to the culture. So one of the things in Flagstaff that you've got to have an athlete that's going to fit into that culture. And so I think Mike Smith and Eric Hines and all of the coaches along the way have always looked for athletes that fit into the culture rather than somebody that's got some special mark. And then Tyler Day being a great example. Tyler Day epitomizes Flagstaff, Arizona, and he didn't come in as a great talent out of high school, but he certainly developed into one because he fit the culture and then bought into the culture. And that's what the book is all about. It's how this culture has evolved and developed over 60 plus years. And we threw out the parts that didn't work, and it's been refined, and now Mike's got it down to a science, and it's rolling. And I look at it, and Mike and I talk regularly, and I go, you know, it's wonderful to see the way that you're rolling with this thing because you've got it figured out.
Well, yeah, and it has been figured out. You know, so I'd like to end by asking Matt a question here. You're a professional runner now. You're from one of the most picturesque countries in the world. You're living in Flagstaff. What's the best thing about your life right now?
By far the best thing is that I can run for my job. There was an opportunity I certainly wouldn't have had I decided to stay back in New Zealand. And I not only do I get to run for a job, I mean, I truly get to run in one of the best training sites in the world. And once again, this is one of the things we really emphasize in the book, that, I mean, you just cannot beat Flagstaff. You have the altitude, you have the trails, you have the setup with the teams, you have professional athletes come through town. I get to stay close to NAU, so I still get to see the team and support them. I have my family up here in Flagstaff. I mean, as a professional runner, this is the place to be. And I think that's the thing which I'm so fortunate about, that I ended up coming to NAU, a school which I had never thought too much about. And I didn't think it was going to turn into what it has become. But that decision to come to NAU ended up spiraling into everything that has happened today, working on this book and being a professional runner. I mean, it's just been an incredible journey.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you both. It's called Running Up the Mountain. It's from Solstice. It has a U in it. It's another great book. You joined a great list of people who have been on with us, and I really appreciate your time. Wish you great luck with the book, and go NAU.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
That was great. These guys are, it's a wonderful book. People really want to go out and get this, Running Up the Mountain. It's beautiful hardcover. It's a story that needs to be told about how culture doesn't have to just be the school, but can be the whole community, you know, the way hockey is around here, perhaps.
Absolutely. It's 447 on Downtown. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Hey guys, thanks so very much. I really, really appreciate it. And I did really love the book, and wish you the best of luck with it. When you see Miles, tell me better show up in Maine next June, or I'll be after him.
I'm going to Maine next November. I want to come up to Rockport, and we're gonna go spend some time up there.
In Rockport?
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna be right down the road from me.
Well, I've been to Camden, and I want to go back and spend a time in November when the leaves are changing.
Oh, the leaves will be gone. November, they'll be gone.
Okay.
Yeah. By the middle of October, even on the coast, they're going to be gone. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.